Okay. I'm fundamentally a singer-songwriter type guy. I started using the loop device to make my presentation more interesting, to accompany myself. And I started out with the Line 6, which is a really cool delay modeler. It does a lot of different things, but its loop is very short. At normal speed, it's 14 seconds, and at half speed, it's 28 seconds. And the first time I took it out on tour, I had a lot of fun with it, but I was trying to accompany myself on a song, and it ran out of time before I ran out of chord changes, and so I realized I needed to do a little better than that. And a buddy of mine who works at a music store was always telling me about the new stuff, so he told me about this new thing called the Boss RC20 Loop Station, which at the time had a couple of minutes worth of recording time, and you can record over it. However much memory it has, you can subdivide that. You can store stuff in it, but I kind of think that's cheating, so I never pre-program anything. I do everything that I do live in real time. I don't even know how much time it has anymore. It's got like 20 minutes worth or something. So you could record a 3-minute thing in there and then overdub on top of it and keep adding more layers until you run out of time. I've never hit the wall on this thing. Basically, what I'm trying to do is just accompany myself, for example, on this song. She was bored and lonesome. I was new in town. When her dark brown eyes lit up, there might be no touching down. Double divorced and drinking doubles. Well, we soon became fast friends. Now I've been cut by diamonds, and I'm on the road again. Now, instead of singing the chorus, I'll explain what's going on here. I just recorded the changes for the verse. So now I would be singing the chorus. She looked at me one morning with the light gone from her eye. Waltzing across Texas, it's the only step she knows. And if I can't see those brown eyes shine, then I'll take my blues and go. And now here come the verse changes again, and I'm going to play a solo. So I had rhythm guitar so I could play a solo, which instantly makes my solo show much more interesting for me and for the listeners. So that's the first thing that I got my loop station for. And then I started getting creative with it. And there's because you can add things to it, I started doing improvisations where I would just get up there and just play, like as Arvid did. You go up there with an empty head and you start playing stuff into it. And I didn't mean, no judgment implied there. That empty head is a good thing in improvisation. So I started looking for ways to make it more interesting, which is why I have a whole floor full of pedals, which he does as well. So you want to make your thing more interesting, so it's not just the same thing repeating over and over again. Let me think of a good example. There was this time at Woodstock last year when I was ready for something new, and I just started playing. Improvising until I found something that I liked, and then I recorded that, and then I improvised more on top of that. I recently got this thing here called a Mama Bear, which is a very interesting device. It's sort of a guitar preamp, but it has a lot of different, it has the ability to make your guitar sound like a lot of different guitars. You tell it what kind of instrument you're putting into it, or what kind of pickup signal you're sending to it, and then it has 16 different guitar sounds that will come out of it. So this one, for example, is called the slope-shouldered jumbo. And somewhere there's a list of exactly what instruments. They measured actual instruments, the sound, the frequency response, and the characteristics of actual instruments, and modeled these sounds. So this one, the Super Jumbo, is like a Gibson J200, which is a big body. There's a lot more bottom end coming out of that. This one here, let's see, number four, this is, number two, small body finger style. It's pretty impressive how much different sound you can get. And this, let's see, one just to show you how cool this thing is. The tricone resonator, which is like a National Steel. So it's called the Mama Bear. It's from DTAR, which is Duncan Turner Acoustic Research. That's Seymour Duncan, who's legendary for guitar pickups and amplifiers. And Rick Turner, who built this instrument, was all the guy who built all those great Alembic instruments in the 70s and went off and started his own company. I've been playing one of his electrics for 25 years now. And actually what happened was I took my electric down to his shop to get some work done on it. While I was sitting there in his shop shooting the breeze with him, I picked one of these up off the wall, and I was instantly like a better guitar player, so I thought I had to have one. So I bought this. It's an electric guitar, because when it's not plugged in, it doesn't sound like anything. But you plug it in, it sounds like a great stage acoustic guitar, and sound guys everywhere praise it. They say how much they like it. And the really and that rare occasional place where you get saddled with a really bad sound system or a really bad sound guy or both, they can't ruin it. So it's that never happens to me in my professional life, however. I always have the best possible sound. But when you this also increases my range as a performer, because I can, when I have my shit together and I can hit the switch fast enough and I don't accidentally rotate it to the wrong spot on the dial, I can record my accompaniment in one sound and then bring a fatter sound in for additional tracks. Lately, I've started a new technique. Oh, that's gonna sound nasty. One thing about loops is it's hard to play with other musicians with them unless they're ready to sync up to the machine too. As soon as you have drums and bass, you have to give up the loop really, because real human music just doesn't stay that precise. My time has gotten really good over the years I've been using this thing, but you start playing with other people and it'll drift. In fact, if you heard my main stage set yesterday when I invited two percussionists up to join me, well, that was an invitation to disaster. And pretty soon, there was John Cagean stuff going on that stage. And so I kicked the loop out, and we just continued like human beings. But I've started doing this thing. I'm using the loop when I'm playing with bands for very short things. You know, just record a phrase when you're playing a solo, and then you can harmonize with it, but you have to get off it pretty quickly because, as I say, you know, just music just speeds up and slows down naturally, so you lose your synchronicity there. But along the way, I discovered an idea of doing something that was not in rigid time along with the band. I started recording stuff that was sort of an arbitrary length of time, and I'm going to try and do that for you now. I did it. I opened my set with this on the Meadow stage on Thursday, if any of you were here. And the idea is you start recording and then you make some sounds, kind of like what Arvid was doing, where he created a nice little sonic environment in which to improvise. And I'm sort of doing the same thing, only with a very different style, because I'm not him. So, and I do that by getting a big overdrive sound, and then I'm going to start the loop and then fade in a sound and then figure out, I'll do fade in like three or four notes that way and then hit the loop and start over and then do some stuff on top of that. So And my volume pedal doesn't really start very well. It sort of comes in. You can hear it coming in, so I'm not happy with this volume pedal, but. So I'm not in any time in particular. And now I'm going to hit the loop, so it's going to start recording again. And there's the first thing I recorded. My thought on this is that I'm thinking of this as like cloud. I'm building a little cloud of sound rather than a phrase or a pattern, you know? Doing a very good job of it this morning. Maybe I just need to add more stuff to make it more dense. Dead spot in the middle of it. I feel like I should stop and start over. I think I will. Forget that one. Sorry. No. It's just, that's not working. See, another thing is you have to really have control over your stuff. And what I admired about Arvid's presentation was he really knew exactly what his pedals were going to do at every moment. I am not so fortunate nor competent. I empty my mind. Well, I did that already once today. I'll just move on to something else here. Try and make it more. Let me see what I can do. Another trick that I use is the delay to make a rhythmic thing. Repeats in a time that you like it, and it feeds back only this many times. Let me see. You set this is a Boss. Digital delay DD5, and the cool thing about this, it has a tempo input, so you can hit the switch in time to the music. So you can make the delay rhythmic in time to the music, whatever you're playing. And that makes it much more useful as a live composition tool, because you don't have to like fiddle with the knob to get it just right. You tap on the pedal, and it gives you. Gets you in time to the music. So when I have my shit together, I can just start playing and get something going with that. Thank you. damage in a short time there. Who needs a band? Well, you know, there are things you can do this way that you can't do with a band, but there are things you can do with a band that you can't do with this. So each has its value and its rewards. Another important challenge to people who use these tools is how to get out of the loop. And that's something, because, you know, once you get it really up there and full of sound and stuff, you can't just hit the pedal and stop it. Well, I have on occasion just gotten a big thing going, and the only way out was to, like, reach down and manually fade it out. You could, yeah. If I had a volume pedal, if I had any more room in my suitcase for one more thing, or see another. Keller Williams is like the king of this stuff, and I've looked at his rig. He uses a Gibson Echoplex, which is a much more powerful tool because you can program it to do a lot of different things, and you can have it. You can set it up to do like five loops, and you step from one into the other, and you can set it up so that when you hit the next loop button, it automatically starts recording. I just got one of these, and I'm just starting to learn how to use it at home. So you can have an A section and a B section and switch back and forth between them and add stuff to each one every time you come back through it, you know, and I have a feeling it's going to be pretty cool. But one thing that Keller does is he has a lot of different devices, plus his sound guy Lou out in the house is helping him out as well. So he has an extra pair of hands and a guy who also sings a little harmony from the booth, which helps too. But he can, he taps into his signal in a bunch of different places and he can reroute it. For example, if I wanted to have the volume pedal after everything else, I can't really do that because it's in the beginning of my signal path. So if I wanted to fade it out, I can't really do it because the loop is after the volume pedal. If I had it set up like Keller's thing where everything is like buffered and run through different mixer channels, then he can just reach over and turn one thing down and turn another up and fade out from between one thing and another. And I'm just starting to get a concept of how I might want to do that for my own setup. But also, I don't make as much money as Keller does, so I can't afford to carry a big rack of gear around plus a sound guy to help me. So for me, it's all what I can fit in that suitcase, which is just a fairly modest rig. Yeah.
There's a guy named Phil King.
Oh, I've heard of him. Well, this guy here has, the RC20 has a microphone input too, so I could conceivably get another mic on a stand with a switch and have its channel turned up. You know, if I wanted to do the Joe Craven thing or what Keller does also, which is do like vocal percussion and stuff, I could probably do that without having to carry too much more hardware. But it would have to have a switch on it so that it's not picking up stuff when you don't want it to. You'd have to turn it on when you want to sing or scat something into it and then turn it off, you know, so you want to add something. In fact, I've been trying to work out a time with Joe Craven when we can do a jam together, me and him both on the same loop device, when either one of us can hit the button and add more stuff to it, and he would be going through a microphone with his fiddle or his vocal percussion, and I'd be playing my guitar through it. We've talked about it. We haven't done it yet. What? Well, he borrowed one from me, and I guess he liked it enough that he started using it. So, and now I just want to get together with him, and I think it would be really fun to have two guys jamming on one digital device. Did you have a question? I keep thinking I'm gonna, but I haven't done it yet. Yeah, I mean, you can, it seems. Let's just try one now, shall we? Huh? Well, see, my shirt button is adding a little unwanted stroke there. Let's try it again. And there it is. Hey, I did it. also have this ME50 has a bass kind of synthesizer thing. So I can go. Instant bass and drums. Be afraid, be very afraid. No, I don't. Okay, now I get the delay in time to that. Another nice thing you can do with the delay is use it to help you get out of your loop. Because then you can just end with an echoing note, you know. Well, let me try to do that again in a more cleaner way. So I use that a lot of times when I'm playing in the middle of a song and I want to go from... get the loop out of there, but keep playing the song, you know. Sometimes the delay helps you cover that seam. It can be kind of a nasty little, you know, if it stops too dead, it just doesn't sound like music anymore, you know. And the whole trick with these things is getting your timing right. Somebody came, was it you that was asking me about that yesterday? How you get out of the loop or how you get it to be regular. And it's just all about your touch. You just have to develop. Well, this thing has an undo, which was a new feature. This is the RC20XL, which introduced an undo function, but it only has one level of undo, as far as I know. But that turned out to be amazingly liberating, because when I couldn't undo anything, anytime I made a mistake, it was just all over. So you can enter them and exit them separately, RC50. I've been reading about it. Yeah, there's a website called Looper's Delight, by the way, loopersdelight.com, and they have a mailing list. And I have like 2,000 messages pending in my mailbox because there's just all these guys using this stuff and they're talking about it. So I've been hearing about the RC50 for months. Yeah, well, that's another thing, too. There's stuff you can do on your laptop now, you know. That's what it's all about, really. Entertaining yourself and maybe a few other people while you're at it.